So now what we've established is that everything you've ever done up until now is all pure thought. Does anybody disagree? Okay, you're all pure thought. Now what I want you to do is think about everything that's ever going to happen to you from now until you leave this plane. Any of you ever think of the word disaster? You know where it comes from? Disassociation from the astral. That's the origin of disaster. Disassociating from the astral. The astral is thought. That's the multidimensional part of you. Your thought, your ability to think. When you disassociate from that, you'll always create disasters. Because you'll start blaming somebody else for what happened to you. You'll think something else did it to you. Somebody else gave you cancer. Somebody else made you unhappy. Somebody else depressed me. You made me feel better. I'm having an anxiety attack. Like anxiety attacks. What is that? And you come up with all kinds of reasons why your life isn't what you want it to be. And you don't understand that you're creating it all. It's all yours. And if you want the miracle, you just have to be pure thought. Now let's look at everything that's going to happen to you. And what dimension is that in? That's also thought. Everything that'll ever happen to you from now on is in the dimension of thought. You can't have any of it. You can't touch it, can't see it, can't smell it, can't get a hold of it. It's not real. That only leaves us with what? Now. Whoops. No, now. Oh, no. Oh, that's gone. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's gone. There's no now. This is getting really tough. But we know that everything that's going to happen to us is in thought, everything that's ever happened to us in thought, and the simple truth is that the working unit of your life is now. It's now. It's now. It's now. How good are you at it? How good are you at it, at being in this now? Where's your mind? Is it back there? Is it out there someplace? Is it going to go to Florida? Talk about the good old days that you never had one? What's it going to do? We're so stuck in form. Now, I say to you, you can unstick yourself from form by choosing to do so right now. Just choose to do it. Watch this. We're going to do it right here. Don't fight me. Don't look to bite off my finger. Just for the next 5 minutes, look to where it's pointing. Just look to where it's pointing. Visualize for a minute a lemon. I've got a lemon right here in my hand. Just sort of close your eyes and see this lemon. And hold your hand out, close your eyes, and see the lemon sitting right there on your hand. It's got a little nub at the top, comes to a point at the bottom. It's got just a little bit of moisture on the outside of the skin and those little indentations like a lemon has. Now hold the lemon and feel it and squeeze it just slightly. Now what I want you to do is think of your favorite paring knife, that little one with the tip that's broken off the edge. And I want you to take the lemon and I want you to place it down on a board. And I want you to cut right down the middle of the lemon. And I want you to put the pointed end in your hand and set the other end of the lemon someplace else. And just hold that half a lemon in your hand. And take your finger in your mind and rub your finger along the top of the lemon. Just rub it along the top. And feel its moisture. Just experience that in your mind, only in your mind. You're all thought. Now take the lemon and bring it up in your mind, close to your nose. Bring it right up to your nose. And smell the lemon and smell its tartness. And know exactly how it feels. And then set it back down. Now pick the same lemon up and bring it close to your mouth. And open your mouth. And I want you to take a bite of the lemon right here. Just take a bite. All right, right here. Ah, bite it. Okay? What's happening in your mouth? You feel the saliva coming into your mouth? Can you feel it? Just wait another few seconds. Can you feel it? It's a little drier. What does saliva do when acid comes into your mouth? What's the purpose of it? Can you feel it now? Now, there it is. Now you're really dry, aren't you? All through thought. You brought something from another dimension, thought, into your consciousness and made yourself salivate through thought in order to protect your mouth from the invasion of citric acid. That's what happens when you put citric acid into your mouth. That's how powerful thought is. And that's what you are. Do you know you can do that? That at the Simonton Cancer Institute in Fort Worth, Texas, they are teaching people to do what I just did with you in 5 minutes, to treat themselves. And they're getting 25% remission rates where 10 years ago they were getting 1% through the power of this mind to heal. Because you no longer are trying to heal. You have to understand that if you're going to change a habit, you must be the habit. You are now the treatment. You are no longer the poison. If you take a cigarette and puff it and put it into your lungs, you are poison. Poison is you. It's in your esophagus, it's in your pancreas, it's in your liver, it's in your bloodstream. That's what you are. You have become the poison. When you no longer are the poison and you are the treatment, you no longer see yourself as a human doing. You're now a being who can walk right past people smoking and know that that isn't you any longer. You're no longer that. And you don't even have to do anything. You just have to become the treatment. Isn't that powerful, what thought can do? And that all of those tricks that we call miracles, we're all capable of by using thought.
You know that most of the problems that people have in their life are in their mind, their thought. People worry. They worry about getting older. They worry about whether they're going to have enough money. They worry about whether the children are going to be virgins. They worry about whether the children are going to do drugs. They're worried about how they're going to make their mortgage payments. There's worry, worry, worry all the time. Now think about what that is. It is just thoughts. It's just thinking in your mind about something that is going to happen. And you know that that kind of thought can create all kinds of anguish within you. It can make your blood pressure go up. It can create an ulcer. I mean, you can actually grow an ulcer from thought, form from thought. Your blood pressure going up, your heart disease increasing. Those are the results of the way that we think. So that you can have physiological reactions to these thoughts. And when you start thinking in different ways, when you start just using thought in a way that is productive and useful for you and saying to yourself, instead of occupying my present moments with these thoughts of some disaster down the road, some horrendous thing that's going to happen, I'm not going to have those. I'm going to anticipate that it's going to work out fine. And then I'm going to start acting on that expectation, on that belief. You just expect that your plane is going to take off on time. And you expect that your children are going to be happy and that they're going to make sensible decisions. And then you will treat them with those expectations. And you will arrive at the airport with those expectations. And even if you arrive there and your plane is late, you don't tell yourself that it shouldn't be that way. You say, well, it probably is saving my life. It's like I called a good friend of mine and I got a ticket a couple of years ago for speeding, 10 miles over a speed limit. I called him up and I was talking about it. He said, don't you understand that man saved your life? I said, what? He said, yeah, he saved your life. He said, just around the corner from there was an accident waiting to happen. For sure, that would have been you. And he stopped you right there. And he said, that's the way I look at it. He said, that's the way I look at it. Instead of looking at the negative in it, I say to myself, if my plane were taking off now, there might be some difficulty. It's not supposed to take off now. It's going to take off when it's supposed to. How can you argue with that? It's going to take off when it's supposed to. It's like learning how to use thought in such a way that you don't create ulcers and you don't create disasters in your mind. And before long, there are none. And even the disasters, quote, that are out there, you now begin to look for the opportunity in those. You begin to look for what's the blessing, what's the gift, what is here for me, instead of all the negativity.
The interesting thing about the positive and the negative are that we're learning through biochemical exploration and engineering, there are enzymes in the brain that release different endorphins into your brain as a result of the way that you think. A person who thinks a positive thought is not just saying, oh, goody, I'm just thinking positive thoughts. They are affecting the chemistry of their body. And when you look at things like schizophrenia and some of the least understood of the mental illnesses, we say, yes, there's chemical imbalances there. And the scientists all get together and say, yeah, it's chemistry. What are you talking about, all this thinking stuff? If we can alter the chemistry, we can alter the disease. Of course, it's true. I buy it 100%, but it's only 50% of the battle. What causes the chemistry to change in a human being? What causes an ulcer? Isn't that a chemical change brought about as a result of thinking? Isn't that what it is? Well, the same thing is true of a mental illness. Yes, the chemistry is different, but believe that you control your chemistry. It's your chemistry. You carry it around. It's yours. And every patient who I've ever worked with in the really severely disturbed realm still must understand that they're doing this to themselves. Yes, your chemistry is imbalanced, but don't believe that we're just going to put you on lithium or we're just going to put you on this drug and the drug is going to, for the rest of your life, do it. You've got to believe that you can, in fact, alter any chemistry within you through the way that you think.
What do you think blood pressure going up when you're under pressure is about? It's a chemical change brought about through thought. What do you think hypnosis is? I mean, we use it in medical practice all the time. Dentists use it all the time. You put yourself into a different state. There's no chemistry. There's no drugs. You're not getting any anesthesia. You're putting your brain into what is called an alpha state. And in that state that you change through thought, which is everything. Remember, it's what you are. Thought is what you are. Thought is also what your husband is and what your children are. It's just your perceptions of them. That's all you get. You can't get to the process of what that human being is. You can only get to one level removed from the process and accept them for what they are and the process that they are. And when you put yourself into this state in a dentist chair, they can drill all day. They can do root canals. And you can think of just anything that you want to. And my dentist told me, Sid Weber, who used to be my dentist when I was living up here, told me that when he was undergoing training to learn this hypnotism, someone told him that he would give a post-hypnotic suggestion that his wedding ring was very hot and that he wouldn't be able to stand the heat of it, so that when that suggestion was given, his mind would go into this other state and he would have to take it off because it would be very uncomfortable. And he went through this thing, and then he mentioned the word, the hypnotic suggestion, and his finger started getting very hot, and he couldn't get the ring off because it was swollen. And finally, after a lot of struggling, he got it off, and there was like a third degree burn around his finger. And this is a guy right here in town who's a practicing dentist. And the stories of the kinds of things that you can do through thought are not some magic boogaboo kind of thing. The man in India that we're talking about, who has an ashram in southern India, he's supposedly the highest spiritual being on our planet. He's this peaceful, beautiful human being who can make ashes like come out of the air. He's pulling dust out of the air through his belief in it. And everybody's going, ooh, how do you do that? I got to get you on the Merv Griffin show. For him, it's just as easy as it is for you to get up and brush your teeth in the morning. It's because of the pureness of that thinking system. I can control my thoughts. Store that away. My feelings come from my thoughts. My emotions, my angers, my hatreds, my love, my positive emotions, my negative emotions are all preceded by thoughts. They're the result of thoughts. They're the physiological reactions to thoughts. And emotions, which are very vital and very important to each one of us, can in fact be controlled by our thoughts. In positive ways. I'm not an anti-emotion person. I'm not someone who believes that you shouldn't be emotional. I'm saying your emotions should never be immobilizing. They should never be defended as something that you use to keep yourself from being all that you can be, or explaining it all away because I'm just this kind of person. I've always been this way. I can't help it. That's my nature. That's the kind of person I am. You are the kind of person you have chosen to be as a result of how you use what you are, the pureness of your thought. It's all that you are. Your form is leaving. It's changing. In that little tiny drop of protoplasm that once was you, everything was programmed in you. Every hair that you have and every one that fell out. It was in that little drop of protoplasm, all right? That little tiny drop of protoplasm changes and changes, and everything that you need to be all that your form needs to house this soul that you are and these thoughts that you are wears out and changes and dies. But thoughts never die. Thoughts never die. That's what it means to be transformed. You've gone beyond your form. And everyone who has ever died, every form that has ever been in your life who has ever died, none of the thoughts that they are could possibly have died. How do you kill a thought? It's the highest form of vibration in the universe. How can you kill it? It's there. Be in tune with it. And you know, we would have a lot less trouble with death if we began to understand that death is just merely a form of transformation. It's all it is. It's a beautiful form. Imagine how necessary it is. Imagine what our planet would be like without it. It'd be very crowded. And yet, there's room for thoughts forever in an unlimited universe. You can't run out of space because you don't need any space for thoughts, do you? And that's what you are. Before you came here in that little tiny drop, there was no space. For you. You didn't occupy any space, yet your essence was there. And it will always be there. And it's nothing to ever fear. You don't kill thoughts. Thoughts are what you are. And you can control them all. In fact, you can create whatever you want out of yourself. It's a beautiful supposition. All of your thinking is under your control, and it's probably the great message of Erroneous Zones. It's hard to believe that the first printing on that I had to buy up. I had to buy it myself in order to get them to do a second printing, and I had to buy the second printing in order to get them to do a third printing myself. I bought them all myself. And I was going across the country taking the books there myself and all of that, and today, 11 years later, there are 28 million copies of that book in print in 26 languages. And it was all, again, through thought. It was all in a belief. It's something that I believe in and I know, and I visualize, and it has to happen. It just has to happen. It's a very strong knowing that I have, that when you get a portrait in your mind of something that you want, and then you begin to act on that portrait, on that image, on that visualization, and you live on that, it is what you are. If you understand that an image is nothing more than a thought, and that if you think something, that it is what you are and you are it. Now, the image alone is not enough. It just won't happen. But what the truth is about imagery and visualization is that the image is something that you will begin acting on. You will treat yourself as if you already are the image that you have in your mind. And so you'll act on that image rather than on a negative image, that you can't do something or that it won't happen. You all know unassailably that if I were to stand up here and say to you, if you go out and hit 1,000 forehands in tennis a day for the next year, 1,000 every day, and 1,000 serves, you have to do 1,000 serves in tennis every day for the next year, that in 1 year's time, you would really know how to serve a tennis ball and hit a forehand, wouldn't you? You may not be Bjorn Borg or Arthur Ashe, but you would be very, very competent at hitting forehands and serving. If you did 1,000 a day for 365 straight days, that's 250,000 strokes, wouldn't you? Imagery is mental practice. It's the equivalent of physical practice in the physical realm, in the form plane that you are in. Imagery is the equivalent, or visualization is the equivalent of that on the mental side. So that if you were to practice a thought, an image, 1,000 times a day for a year, that image would become you and you would become that image. Let's say you wanted to be 30 pounds lighter. Let's say you wanted your heart rate to go from 72 beats a minute to 32 beats or 40 beats a minute. Let's say you wanted to not be a smoker any longer. And you had the image of yourself. You didn't do anything else. You just had an image of yourself that you would practice 1,000 times a day. I am not the poison. I am health. I am healing. I am not sickness. This is the picture I have of myself looking the way I want to look. And you draw that picture in your mind, and you draw it out even on your chalkboard, and you paste it everywhere. And every minute of every day, your image is, this is the way I look. This is the way I see myself. I'm not going to try to quit anything. I'm not going to try to do anything different. I just see myself as looking this way. And I see myself as non-smoking health. No quitting, because quitting is negative. Do you understand that everything that you fight, you violate the principle that holds the universe together? Whenever you fight anything or anyone, you are always weaker after you fight. Always. Fighting weakens people. So that if you strike out at someone, you beat someone, you're weaker at the end of it. And fighting anything is the surest way to set yourself up to lose. And it's why the war on drugs isn't going to work. Because it's a war. And if you have a war on something, then you have to set up right away. We have winners and losers, and now we have to get out our battle artillery. All right? Do you understand that you can reshape your thinking so that you don't ever have to think in negatives again? It's putting something in terms of what you're for rather than what you're against. Everything you fight, if you're on a diet and you're fighting losing weight and you're fighting your addictions, all right, that you've created, the more you fight, the more difficult you make it for yourself to be pure, to understand that you're a human being, not a human doing. It's a being that you are. And so you see yourself that way. It's how I got off of caffeine. It's how I got off of cigarettes over 20 years ago. Just simply seeing myself that way and not telling myself that it was difficult. I told myself it's the easiest thing in the world. Realistically, when you think about it, which is easier to do, eat chocolate or not eat chocolate? I mean, think about it. If you're going to eat chocolate, you got to go to the store. You got to pay for it. You got to bring it home. You got to unwrap it. You got to put it in your mouth. You got to chew it. You got. If you don't eat chocolate, all you got to do is not eat chocolate. That's all you got to do. So not eating chocolate is really a lot easier than eating chocolate, isn't it? So you don't tell yourself that this is difficult, this is a hard process. You see yourself the way you want to be, and you practice it enough so that when you go out on the tennis court and you want to hit your forehand, you don't have to think about it anymore. I don't ever think about, what am I going to do with my racket? Where do I hold it? Do I get it back? Am I going to step into it? I don't think about that. By the time you do that, you've already lost three sets. What you do is you practice it enough until you don't have to give it any thought. It becomes instantaneous, automatic. And now I go out on the tennis court and somebody hits me a ball and I just go like that and I hit it forehand. Somebody hits me backhand and I just step into it and I hit it back. And I don't ever give it any thought. I learned how to do it through imaging, through imagery, by seeing myself. Do you know that every great golfer does the same thing? Jack Nicklaus talks about this over and over again. You see the shot going the way you want to see it. You see your swing the way you want to see it. And you practice the imagery enough. Before long, it's automatic. You just see it and you do it. It's true, though. It's really true that you can make things, make matter what you want it to be through thought. But you have to unclog yourself. It's almost like thinking of it in terms of a container, a large container, that if it's filled with something else, you can't get the right stuff in it. Obviously, if you've got a container filled with manure and you want to put some pure, beautiful things into it, you have to get rid of the manure first. Now, everybody has manure. It's just knowing where to put it and what to do with it. Patricia Sutton gives that analogy. Think of something that really smells bad, and that would be manure. And then she said, we have to make it smell bad because otherwise people would be rolling it up in little balls and throwing it at each other, and kids would be playing with it, and we would have it in our, you know, in our kitchens and all of that. So we make that bad because that's a judgment. And then think of something that smells really good. Think of something that smells good, and that would be, oh, bread, whole wheat bread, baking in the oven. And then think about what to do with your manure. You see, in order to have something that smells good, you have to take something that smells bad and know what to do with it. So what you do is you take the manure and you put it into the ground. And then you fertilize the ground, which helps you to grow the wheat, which helps you to grow the necessary ingredients to make the bread out of so that you can have the good stuff. Don't ever think that because you got manure in your life that there's anything wrong. It's just that you're neurotic if you don't know where to put it. And you can turn it into something really good, really nice, by just knowing what to do with it instead of cursing it, but by doing something positive with it. You're creating whatever you need for this life. You're creating it all, even the negative stuff, which is not negative at all. It's just, that's a judgment. It's just your stuff. The other reason visualization works is that, and this is really crucial, this is more crucial than the belief and understanding that everything you could ever want is already here. All the wealth and abundance that you could possibly ever want is already here. You just got to tune in. See, most people think, when they mention my name, they think this is a guy who's really persistent. And I am. And really determined. And I am. I really feel that way. But so is each one of you. If I ask every one of you, are you determined? They'll say, yeah, I gave it my best shot. I worked really hard. I'm really a determined person. It just didn't work out. It just wasn't my fate. I just wasn't supposed to get it. I guess God doesn't want that for me. Or whoever it is that you want to blame for it not working. You see, this is not a good test of whether visualization works or not. Because all of us believe we're persistent, even if we just try once. We say, yeah, I gave it my best shot. Well, how many days did you do it? Oh, just this morning. But I gave it a real test. Visualization works because everything you visualize is already here, A, and B, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. That's the most important thing that you can think about in terms of visualization. You must be willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If it takes moving, you move. If it takes leaving this relationship, then you do. If it takes working 24 hours a day for 10 years, see, great things have no fear of time. If you are willing to act out on what you imagine for yourself and understand that it isn't being persistent that counts. It's doing whatever it takes to do that, day in and day out, minute in and minute out. The more willing you are to do that, you'll make it happen. That is the thing that separates myself out from everyone that I know that most of the people who haven't got what they want for themselves in their life, and their life isn't at the level they would like it to go, are not willing to do what it takes. They're only willing to go so far. And then, I can't do that. You want me to borrow money? You mean you want me to leave here? I've been here all my life. You want me to go to a banker and talk to them about that? You want me to run 8 miles to get in shape every day? You want me to do that every day? You want me to just keep doing that? You want me to stop eating this food that I've been eating? You want me to give up chocolate? Give it up? I mean, chocolate? You want me to give that up? But it's just a question of how willing are you? And if you're willing and know that it's here, the answer is it can't miss. That's the way the universe works. It can't miss. And if you already know that whatever you have is what you've created, then all you have to do is understand that whatever you want to create is entirely up to you. And it's all done through something called thought.
This is the end of Side 3. Please turn the cassette over to begin Side 4.